You know, being former law enforcement, I know firsthand how busy law enforcement is. I know that every day, every month, and every year, law enforcement everywhere are getting busier. More projects, more programs, people to manage, calls to respond to. It is overwhelming. That's why I get so excited and happy when I see companies out there offering assistance and services to help law enforcement agencies. As a former operations commander in my agency, I was in charge of many things. Now, one of those was the administration and management of our extra duty program, chasing down vendors, managing officers, billing issues, all very time consuming. My next guest is Rich Milliman. He is the CEO of Extra Duty Solutions, a service that helps law enforcement agencies administer their extra duty programs. And the best part about it is it doesn't cost municipalities or department anything. They charge a small admin fee to the vendors, but again, nothing to the municipality or the department. This is an amazing company, very informative. You're going to love the show. Stay tuned. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the show. Patrick here. Whatever you are doing, wherever you are at, thank you for spending a little bit of your valuable time with me. Big shout out to all the brave men and women out there serving, whatever you're doing. Maybe you're in the military, maybe you're working in law enforcement, whatever you're doing in the criminal justice field, thank you. You are doing a fantastic job. Keep up the great work. If you're a longtime listener, welcome back. If you're a new listener, welcome. We hope you love the show. You know, we are so happy to be partnered with Detecticam, this amazing and innovative company. It's protecting our brave men and women who serve us every day by offering mobile threat detection available for the palm of your hand. Yes, available to detect illicit drugs and explosives. Head over to cjevolution.com, click on the link to Detecticam, and see how they can help protect your troops. Oh, I love my coffee, and I know a lot of you do too. I love coffee from Four Sigmatic, most notably their mushroom coffee. I love the lion's mane. It's a type of mushroom. No, it's not mushrooms that are going to make you see pink elephants. They're good mushrooms, and more importantly, they're better for you than traditional coffee. You're going to love their products. They offer coffees, elixirs, cocos. You're going to love it. Head over to the website, click on the link to Four Sigmatic. You're going to get 15% off using the promo code CJEVO. On to the show with Rich Milliman. Rich, are you there, sir?
I am. Thanks for having me on.
Well, I mean, we talked off the air a little bit about this amazing company. Can you tell us what was the catalyst? Because this, Rich, I got to tell you, man, I wish I knew about this company when I was still in law enforcement, because I would have utilized the services. But what was the catalyst behind the creation of this great company?
So I have a partner in the business, and he and I worked for a large financial services firm. He in security, me, physical security, me in risk. And those two areas tend to work together a lot. And we would occasionally utilize extra duty officers. And that's where I learned of the world of extra duty for a variety of, you know, security risk mitigating reasons. And when we both left the firm, we realized that it's kind of an inefficient market. You know, if you're the chief security officer of a large corporation, and you want to have officers in 300 of your stores or hotels or whatever on Saturday night, you have to call 300 law enforcement agencies. And so we started the company in 2015 thinking we would help the corporations interact with the law enforcement agencies. They just call us, and then we'll make those 300 calls. And, you know, in the beginning, we didn't have a large staff, so he and I are kind of making those calls, and we realize the law enforcement agencies really need help too. I mean, corporations at least can throw money at problems. You can't really do that if you're a government entity. And, you know, sometimes we would call an agency to ask about the extra duty program, and nobody would call us back, or it calls back 3 days later and the person wouldn't know the answers. So we upgraded and kind of shifted our infrastructure so we could help the law enforcement agencies, and we started with our first law enforcement agency back in January of 2016, and now we have about 70, and you know, our payroll last week to officers alone, just 1 week, was over $1 million. And then later in 16 and 2017, we exited that corporate market because we didn't want to have a conflict of interest. We didn't want to be working for, you know, the Hilton Hotel and at the same time administering the local police department's program and being playing both sides of that fence. But that is really the catalyst, realizing that, wow, this is a kind of inefficient market where it's a little bit painful for both sides, and there's probably a better way to do this.
Yeah, and you guys operate in over 60 departments across the country. Yeah. And you guys, like you said, Rich, you handle everything. The one thing that, again, we talked before we started the show, you guys handle all the financial risk, you know, eliminates the financial risk for agencies. And that's huge, like you said, for agencies.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, if you think, you know, a lot of agencies, a lot of times I'll talk to the CFO of the municipality and I'll ask him, what is the float cost of the extra duty program? And very rarely will he be able to tell me. Like, it's not tracked or measured. So we pay the officers every payroll period that they work in, just like their active duty pay. And then we invoice the extra duty customers, whoever that, you know, those companies happen to be. And if it takes them 3 weeks or 3 months or 6 months to pay us, that's our problem. And, you know, likewise on bad debts expense, if we extend credit to ABC Landscaping and the week after a detail, they go bankrupt, that's our problem too. So there's no financial risk anymore for the municipality.
Mm-hmm. And in a municipality, Rich, I'm assuming they maintain control over all the management decisions associated with the program.
Yeah, usually it's some combination of the police department, the union, and you know, command staff, the union, and a municipality. We always say that we administer the program, but we don't manage the program. And what I mean by that is it's still the police department's rules. It's their processes. It's their scheduling algorithm. You know, we have nearly 70 departments as of today, and I think all of them have different scheduling algorithms for extra duty programs, you know, whether it's some kind of rotation list or a point system or inverted point system. There's a million different ways to do this, but they maintain those decisions. They set the rates. They, you know, if they have cancellation policies on the customer side or on the officer side, we administer all those rules. We do all the work, but we don't make the decisions.
Mm-hmm. So what does a good, because I used to be in charge of extra duty programs in my agency before I retired. What does a good or great extra duty program look like?
So I'll answer it from two perspectives, the law enforcement side and the customer side, right? Mm-hmm. So let's start with the customer side. What does good look like to them? And it kind of looks the same as good with anything else. If you think about it, if you use an airline or you know, you walk into a restaurant, what does good look like? Well, in the world of extra duty, it's, you know, you call or you go online or you interact somehow with the police department or their agent, you know, perhaps us, and you get a friendly person on a phone who's knowledgeable, who can answer your questions on that phone call, not that they have to check with somebody else. If you call at 3 p.m. or 3 a.m., they answer the phone by the end of ring two, hopefully. it's never down. If, you know, if all the members of the account team are busy, it gets forwarded to another account team and they pick it up, or you're able to put in your phone number to get an immediate call back. But it's an easy experience for them, so they're not wasting a lot of time. And, you know, the invoices are clear. You can see which officer worked for how much time and the start time and the end time and the address of the location. And when they call about a question about, hey, I don't think we had three officers, I think we only had two that day, the finance team can immediately answer and resolve issues. So for the customer standpoint, good looks kind of the same as good in every other asset or asset of commerce, right? From the law enforcement side, there's really two aspects, or I always say there's two things that you should have in your extra duty program to make it good: simplicity and transparency. Mm-hmm. Right? Where we see problems in extra duty programs, when I walk in and a chief says, "Oh, it's such a hassle. It's such a nightmare. It's I wish we didn't have to have this program." I can almost guarantee there's one or two things going on, or both. Either it's a very complex program, so the officers themselves don't understand how the jobs are divvied up, or it's not transparent. So officers can't see who got what job, or they don't know, not everybody's communicated to at the same time for what jobs are available. But there is some type of a lack of transparency. I mean, a good program is easy to understand, mm-hmm. and everybody can see all facets of it.
And again, we're talking to Rich Milliman, who is the CEO of Extra Duty Solutions. And sir, who does having an extra duty program benefit, and how does it do so?
It really benefits three groups of people. First is society in general, and you know, the customers of the program. But let's talk about society in general. I mean, with an extra duty program, there's more officers out there, right? So I was talking to one of our chiefs. This is out in Arizona, was saying that he had a robbery. You know, called into dispatch, and dispatch realized they had an officer working right across the street in an extra duty detail, and they pulled that officer off the detail and told him to go across the street and resolve the issue. So he arrived in 30 seconds. Now, if there was no detail at that location, it would have taken 7 or 8 minutes
for
officers to arrive. So there is a benefit to society in general. The other benefit on the society side is a lot of people, you know, if you're law abiding, you really don't see officers a lot in your day to day. So with extra duty details, that it enables a lot of people to interact with law enforcement in a non-law enforcement way, right? So you go into your church, you see an officer that's there to provide security. You go to a movie theater, you see an officer. So you're able to interact and see in a more positive way than sometimes you do. The second group of the beneficiaries is the customers themselves. So, you know, rather than getting, you know, armed security, which could be, you know, some guy with a gun, basically, or no security, you're getting a trained officer who's, you know, goes to the range as prescribed by law or by local ordinance, is uniformed, is working under the code of ethics of law enforcement, has been through all the scrutiny of getting a job and maintaining one with law enforcement. And that's what you're getting. So it's a huge benefit to the customers. And then also for the officers, it's, you know, it's a great way of getting some extra income, getting out into the community to interact with people. And so there's really, really benefits all three legs of that stool.
And I love it because as a former commander in charge of extra duty and doing all that, it's a huge time. You know, I'm gaining that time back so I can devote to other things if I call up Extra Duty Solutions and you guys just take the ball from there.
Yeah, I mean, one of the, you know, if you ask me, like, what's the, after we start with a new department 3-4 months into it, what do they most normally say to us? And they say, man, we, you know, we just got back a guy and a half. Or, you
know, yeah, true.
Back 15 to 20 hours a week, you know, that I can do, you know, quote unquote, real work with. And, you know, the other related to that comment we get a lot is, you know, a lot of departments will have a lieutenant or somebody who's kind of managing the extra duty program. And that's what they do. And a lot of times they'll say to me, you know, this is not why I went into law enforcement. I did not go into law enforcement to answer the phone at 5 a.m. because some landscaper's calling because it's raining and he's not going to do his job today. He's going to do it tomorrow instead. And can I move all the officers? That's not what I thought about, you know, when I decided to go to the academy and so on. So it enables law enforcement professionals to add more value by being law enforcement professionals, and we'll do all the, you know, administrative stuff around the logistics and the operations.
Yeah, I love it. Now, Rich, what's the average size? I know you're out there with many, many department. What's the average size that size of department you're working with? I imagine you have very big and then kind of small.
Yeah, we have. Yeah, I mean, the smallest is probably 20, and the largest that we have right now is 710 sworn officers. And you know, we have some sheriff's departments that are a lot bigger because you have the jail staff and all the civilians and so on. We're talking to a couple of departments right now that are in the thousands because this is becoming more accepted and known. But I would say on average, if you looked at it all across all of them and got rid of the outliers, like the average is probably right in the low hundreds, I would say. There seems to be a point at which, you know, and you get to 70 or 75, 80, 85 sworn officers, that it seems like there's a breaking point there where an active extra duty program will become pretty painful to start managing internally. And we get a lot of calls at that point.
Yeah, because just the sheer size of the department and what's it, you know, there's usually one or two people managing it. It just becomes overbearing.
Exactly. And if, you know, and every chief is under budgetary pressure. And if you, you know, if you've got 80 officers and one full-time equivalent that does nothing but monkey around with the extra duty program, that's meaningful. You know, it's one less person out on patrol.
That's a great segue to the next question. So you get a lot of police chiefs that come to you probably, Rich, or for those chiefs out there, those senior executives, what advice would you give to those executives regarding, you know, and that includes CFOs and BAs, regarding extra duty programs?
Yeah, I would say, it'd be a little bit different in each group, but on the BAs and the CFOs, I would say, one, make sure that the insurance and the coverage is checked out and topped off, you know, for the program. You don't want to be questioning, well, does workers' comp cover this or not cover it? You know, is this covered under a liability or is it covered under the customer's liability? Get that kind of nailed down. The other thing I would be encouraged CFOs especially to look at is how much is it costing you to run your extra duty program? Because most of them really don't think about it. You know, most departments don't start an extra duty program and you analyze the cost of it. It grows one inch at a time. Mm-hmm. And so over years and years, all of a sudden you've got, you know, a lieutenant and a patrolman that are managing it on the police department side. Over in the finance department of the municipality, you got somebody sending out invoices. You got somebody else making collection calls. You got all this float money hanging out there. And nobody knows what it really costs. We had one department that we went into that's a client of ours now. And before they started with us, the BA said, well, let's analyze what this costs us to run, because we want to make sure that the fees that extra duties charging to our customers are fair. And they determined that it cost them a little over $300,000 to run their program internally. We're running it for less than $80,000, you know? Now, we're running these programs across a lot of departments, so we can be a lot more efficient than each department running their own, program. And that's why we get these huge financial gains, and we can do this by charging very low fees to the customers or the vendors. But that's one thing I would say to the CFOs. And then on the chief side, I would say, again, simple and transparent. The more simple and the more transparent you make the program, the less headaches you're going to have. Rarely do I speak to a chief where I don't hear horror stories of fist fights in the hallways over who's going to get fixed, you know, detail, or some guy working an 8-hour overnight, you know, detail coming in for his active duty assignment and getting to a cruiser and falling asleep or something like that. I mean, there's always been these kind of horror stories, but if you make it simple and transparent, especially transparent, I mean, we keep our records for 7 years. We have all sorts of checks and balances and transparency built into our infrastructure. And as a result, we've gotten a couple inquiries from not chiefs or CFOs or BAs, but, you know, county solicitors, you know, lawyers, like the checks and balance infrastructure over police departments, who have called us in to say, hey, we would like you to interact. We'd like you to talk to this chief about potentially administering their program. And we have a couple of departments where we administer the program where there was some very serious ethics violations that, you know, oversight decided, let's have somebody else administer this. So there's an arm's length change here, difference here.
And I was going to ask you what the media world we live in today and social media, and that's probably a good thing to remember so you don't end up in the news or, you know, a department among many things, right?
Yeah, and it's easy. I mean, boy, there's when you start looking at extra duty and you start looking across states, across departments, you see some commonalities. And you know, if your program is not transparent and there's not a fairness algorithm to determine who gets what jobs, it can be seductive. And what I mean by that is, if I'm a coordinator, if I'm an officer, and some departments will have coordinators to help coordinate aspects of the extra duty program. And, the three Waffle Houses in my town are my client. I have a lot of power, you know? Yeah. I mean, I can determine who works and who doesn't work at Waffle House. And we've seen all sorts of bad things. We've seen, you know, skimming off the top. We've seen no-show jobs. We've seen cash payments. I mean, it can be seductive. So to the chief, simple and transparent, you know, have checks and balances, have guardrails around it. Make sure you're not letting somebody get into a gray area, because it's easy to do with a program like this.
And I never knew, you know, as a young cop, until I started rising up through the ranks, Rich, you know, how complex and intricate that extra duty, you know, programs were until you get into those roles. Because most officers out there, I'm willing to bet, or maybe some of them know, what it entails and all the moving parts that have to work together to make it successful.
Yeah, and a lot of times even, you know, I'll talk to the police department and they're only half the picture. Over in the municipality and the finance and the procurement department, there's a whole mess of other stuff that's going on, you know, relative to the program. And so it's kind of times two what you think it is. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're, you know, some of these programs are $20, $30 million a year in revenue, what the officers get. And when you, you know, you, if you were a security firm, and you're pulling in $20 or $30 million a year in revenue, you're one of the biggest security firms in America, you know, and mm-hmm. that's just one department. So there's a lot, you know, there's a reporting, you're going to have OPA requests, Freedom of Information requests. There's a lot of money flowing around. There's a lot of tracking you have to do for that. If you accept credit cards, there's all sorts of rules and regulations around that. There are a lot of intricate moving parts, and it's very easy to screw the whole thing up.
And now I know you operate domestically. Rich, are you overseas at all, or is that a?
We're not. We've had inquiries from some agencies in Canada and others in Latin America. We haven't, you know, it would require us to set up infrastructure in other places. Mm-hmm. You know, if we want to work in Colombia, we need all sorts of infrastructure down there. There's legalities of doing this down there. We need a bunch of Spanish stuff. So we haven't done that yet, partially because there's still a lot left to do in the United States. And, you know, we have almost 70 departments, just 17,000 police departments in America. And we're the biggest company that does this. So there's a lot of room to grow right here.
Yeah. Yeah. First to market, and always be, you know, better to be first to market. Now who are your competitors out there?
We have a couple of, like software companies that backward integrated into what we do. So they mm-hmm. sell software, but they're also trying to do the administration. There's also a couple of security firms that, they work directly with the customers, like the Walmarts and Best Buys of the world, and they've tried to integrate into doing what we're doing. So they're, you know, in my opinion, they're conflicted because they're working on both sides of the fence. So if you're, you know, if you're, I'll give you an example mm-hmm. of where that can be a real issue. We had a case where it was a large warehouse of a logistics company, and we had an officer that worked at a detail there, and the next day he called the account team here and said, "Hey, the paper that I had to sign when I went into the company, do you get a copy of that?" And the account manager says, "What paper?" He said, "Yeah, they make every officer sign a paper when they walk in." So we called over to a logistics company and said, "Send us the paper." After some back and forth, we got it. And I looked at it, and, you know, the top said something non-threatening, like, you know, work notification. But when you read it, it was horrifying. It read like a Stephen King novel. It pushed all the risk onto the officer. And yeah, and so we, you know, I spoke to the chief and the municipal lawyer, and they ended up saying none of these officers are allowed to work in that warehouse again. Now, if the warehouse was our client, if that logistics company was our client, because we were a security firm and we did corporate work, what would we have done in that case? If we're making $5 million a year from the logistics company and $40,000 a year in fee from the police department, we're going to be real quiet about that. But mm-hmm. because we only represent the best interest and the interests of the municipality and the police department, so, and sheriff's organizations that we work for, we flagged that right away, you know? And so we don't have a lot of competition where this is all the company does. You know, we're very focused on this. And there's also a couple really small, like mom and pop shops, where an officer might have retired, say, as a captain from an agency, and he was running the extra duty program. And so, you know what, in retirement, I'd like to do something and make a few dollars. I'll keep running it. So, you know, and that person's running one program, basically partly in his old job. But that's really all we see in the marketplace right now.
Rich Milliman, thank you so much, sir. Where can people find you in Extra Duty Solutions?
So online, our website is extradutysolutions.com, all one word. We can most easily be reached via email at info@extradutysolutions.com. We're on Instagram, we're on LinkedIn, we're on a couple others too, but those I know we're heavy users of. We'd love to hear from you if anybody has any questions or wants to talk to us about our service. Just a lob an email into info@, and we'll get back to you the same day.
Yeah, and people, if you're listening, head over to the website, extradutysolutions.com. You'll see a bunch of testimonials, Rich. I mean, it's amazing the testimonials you're getting.
Yeah, I know. I appreciate you mentioning that. There's also a 3-minute video on the site goes over what we do in 3 minutes. But there's a really fun quiz that I always direct people to. It's a quick 10-question quiz, and it kind of tells you how well you know your program. And at the end of it, you can see how you stack up to other people. So that's kind of a fun thing to do on a site.
Yeah, I love it. Much needed. And much needed today, sir, with the amount of, law enforcement is just so busy today. And I love Extradutys Solutions. They come in, they take the burden off these important programs.
I really appreciate it. But yeah, that's what we try to do. And the feedback we've gotten was, it's really a beneficial service in that way to alleviate the administrative burden, to alleviate the possibility of unfairness allegations and union grievances and all that, can come with it, and all this financial risk that comes with these programs.
Yeah. Rich Milliman, thank you so much, sir. Much success to you. If there's anything we can do here at the podcast, please let us know, sir.
Oh, I appreciate it, Patrick. Thanks for having me on the show.
All righty, sir. Take care.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast. For more strategies for self-improvement and resources based on today's episode, be sure to head to cjevolution.com. You can also connect to Patrick directly on social media @Pat_Fitzgibbons with any questions, comments, or concerns. We look forward to helping you find more personal success on the next episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast.